family. You're a little more awake now. You've woke up a little bit since Nathan was up here. Hey, I'm Wes Calm. I'm one of the youth ministers here at Landmark, and I'm getting the opportunity to speak with you today because Buddy is in Turkey, and we're really excited to talk about some of that this afternoon. But before I get started, I realized as I was studying for this lesson, it's a special month. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, and since we're talking about reclaiming our peace, I'd like to just take a moment and recognize some special people in the room. If you work in mental health, if you are a counselor, a therapist, if you're a school counselor, if you are a social worker or a teacher that works with mental health, will you stand up? And then, church, can we just recognize these people for what they do and how every single week they help us be on mission to reclaiming peace? Another thing I began to think about is, what do I do usually when I'm trying to gain peace? When I'm trying and looking for peace in a moment, I often look for a peaceful place. Some of you will recognize this first photo. It's a garden over at Shakespeare. I go over there a lot when things are kind of crazy. Being a dad, I have two little boys who are constantly running around my house and going nuts. And so when I get a moment to take a breath, I go out here to this garden. I read, I pray. I just take a second to pause for a second and sit in some silence too. But another day really came to mind for me. About 2 years ago, I got an opportunity to go to this special place called Denver, Colorado, and went to a very special place called Red Rocks Amphitheater. Has anybody ever been there before? It's an awesome place. It's a concert venue that they've kind of built out of this mountain. And what's wonderful about it is you can go out there in the middle of the day if there's not a concert going on, and you can just hang out. So there's people working out. Some of them are like running up those steps. I saw a firefighter when I was there with a big tank on his back, like jogging up those stairs. I saw other people just enjoying the day with their family, kind of as tourists, and then other people who make this a regular thing where they were just reading a book or journaling. That's what I got to do. I also got to hike some of the paths out there. Then that evening, I got to go to another beautiful place. I went to Coors Field, which is the home of the Rockies who play for the Major League Baseball. And I got to just enjoy a beautiful game. The sun was setting, much like in this photo, over the Rockies. And so I'm not a huge baseball fan. So a lot of times when I go to a sporting event, I really like to people watch. Do I have any people watchers in the audience when they go to a sporting event? So I love baseball, but also one of the things that's really fun, you get to see the kid who's never been to a ball game over here eating out of a hard hat, soft serve. And then over here, you have that one guy that's liking to chirp at all the people in the outfield and all the funny things he might say. And then there's me, who's just enjoying a soft pretzel and watching everybody else and maybe enjoying a home run or two. This night, there weren't many home runs, though. The Rockies were down quite a bit going into the eighth, and I kind of decided that I was going to slip out. And as I did, I called someone on the phone, and I began down the stairs that was the exit. And as I did, I heard a little cheering in the background, and I didn't think too much of it because they were so far behind, and I kept going, and I hit the gate, and I heard everybody get really excited, and I turned around, and there was the security guard, and I said, I kind of pointed even though I was on the phone, and he just looked at me and shook his head, no, you missed the opportunity. So I kept walking through the parking lot, and as I did, I heard fireworks off in the distance. I missed a walk-off home run to win the game. They came back. I was a little disappointed, but I loved the person I was on the phone with, so I kept going, got in the car, and as I did, I kind of saw off in the distance over the Rocky Mountains a storm brewing. I didn't think much of it. I hadn't been to Denver that much before. I didn't really know which direction I was heading, but what I didn't know is I was heading directly into that storm. I was driving this 4Runner, and as I was driving this 4Runner, which is a little bit bigger than my car, sheets of water began to pour over the windshield, the kind of rain that you don't know whether or not you should stop. I, being myself, decided to push through, so I kept going. And as I did, I made it safely to the hotel, but it was raining so hard that many people had lined up, and it was hard to get to the door. And I did what many people would do when there's a hard rain. I decided to wait it out. So I sat in the car for about 10, 15 minutes, continued talking to this loved one, and as I saw that the rain stopped all of a sudden, I thought, I'm in the clear. And so I got all my things ready. I told the person I loved them. I hung up with it, and I closed the door to the car. And as soon as I did, boom, buckets of rain on top of me. I was drenched. And not just like, oh, I got a little wet, but you know, like the kind of wet where your shoes turn into puddles and you start to like squish everywhere you go. And so I'm trying to run, and I'm kind of duck walking to the door. And as I do, I step in gum because it's just like, it's just a terrible moment. And as I do, I get inside the door and I'm able to clean off. And it was a great day. But also, man, does it stink to get caught in a storm. And as I was sitting there kind of recounting and journaling at the end of the night, like I do sometimes, something came to me. Sometimes it's hard to know whether you're in the clear or in the eye of the storm. See, that night I thought I was completely in the clear. I'm not one of those weather app people. My wife is, thankfully, and usually tells me, but I was on this trip by myself, and I just didn't realize that I was in the eye of the storm. I wasn't in the clear. The second thing that kind of hit me is that as the storm was rolling in over the Rockies, those people who were at Red Rocks that night were getting caught in a storm. That storms can find even the most beautiful places. That place that I had loved that morning, that was fun to journal in, all of a sudden was just gushing water. And I can only imagine in that tiered space when that much rain comes through what it was like. And later, if there were still people at the Rockies Stadium at Coors Field, obviously it wasn't going to be as much fun celebrating in that torrential downpour. Or maybe it was. But it hit me, storms can find the most beautiful places, and it reminded me of this beautiful place that the disciples once got to see. This is the Sea of Galilee. And if you see, not off too far off in the distance, much like my day, there was some mountains off in the distance. And what can happen on these mountains is that a high pressure front comes through, and storms like that can be on the sea. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, we see the first time that the disciples are caught in a great storm. It says this, "On that day, evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they spoke to him, saying, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the winds and the sea. 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with a great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?'" The first thing I want to camp out on today is that our struggles are real. See, one of the things that hit me as I was reading through a couple commentaries is that the people who are afraid in this moment are pretty adept at being on a boat. In fact, many of them were fishermen. Many had been on the oar before, pushing through a storm like this. And in fact, in a later account, Mark will bring that up in Mark chapter 8, that Jesus sees that they're afraid and at the oar. But one of the things that I want you to hear today that often we talk about to kind of root ourselves in this story is these guys know a bad storm. Many of them have been fishermen all of their lives, and they've been at the oar, and they know when a storm is at a point where life or death might be the actual thing. And so one of the things that I think we're often really quick to do in many of the accounts of the disciples is look at them and say, "Well, I wouldn't be like that." But I'm going to tell you, if a cruise ship was rocking back and forth and waves were coming over it, much like it was in this tiny boat that they were in, I might be a little afraid too. We might not be in a little literal storm, but our struggles can feel like one. You know, I haven't actually had the opportunity to be caught in a storm on a boat. But I have had a lot of struggles in my life that maybe it felt like a big storm is coming through and I got puddles for shoes. And I was reading through several of the things that we wrote down that steal our peace, and here are a few of them. Addictions, aspirations and expectations, anxiety, depression, family strife, insecurity, isolation, money problems, stress. These are real things. And sometimes the winds and the waves knock us because we put our hope in some of these things. Instead of putting our hope in Christ, much like the disciples in this moment, they were putting it in their real expectations of what the storm was like. And they were saying, "Jesus, I've been in a storm before, and I know what happens when the winds and the waves start filling up." They had put it in their own experience. Yet Jesus had something else in store for them. And sometimes that's not even the case. Sometimes life is just hard and it punches you in the mouth. Sometimes things happen and it's of no fault of your own, and maybe you lose a job that you weren't expecting. Maybe there's something going on in your life and it just happens. But here is what Jesus speaks into their storm. He says, "Peace, be still." As I was looking through it this week, I started studying the word of the Greek, which is arena, and I found a couple things really interesting. Here's what it means. It means to be whole. It can mean to be silent or quiet. It can mean to be at rest, much like Jesus was right now in the back of the boat. There's actually some wordplay happening here. Jesus is peaceful. He is quiet in this moment. His soul is at rest, yet he is still in the back of the boat, asleep. And the final one that kind of caught my attention is that it can also mean to be set whole again, that you can once have peace, yet a new storm arise and it can be rocked, and it has to be set whole again. See, our struggles are real, yet Jesus asked his disciples to grow their faith and find rest in him. See, in this moment, when he speaks peace to the ocean, his answer to his disciples of how to find it is to put their faith in him. And here's something as I was studying that I really found interesting, is I believe that godly peace is the fruit of a deep faith in God and Jesus. Peace can come about anything. You can find a resolution and happiness in the world without Jesus. But to find a peace that one day will not be shaken, you must have a faith in Jesus. And it has to be the foundation in your storm. And so to find godly peace, we must find faith. See, Jesus' faith produces peace in this moment. It allowed him to sleep while the storms and seas were raging in the back of the boat. And what I find interesting is that as this boat is filling up, Jesus is still asleep, although his sandals and probably his tunic at that time is wet. He doesn't wake up until the boat starts filling up and his disciples have to wake him. And see, Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you trust me more than you trust the storm?" And I can say this, in times of my life, this has been a question that I feel God asking me. We see this happen again. See, the Sea of Galilee, storms pop up quite often. We see this throughout Scripture. Matthew 14, 27 through 31 is another opportunity on the Sea of Galilee for the disciples to show faith in the middle of a storm. See, Jesus walks on water to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you a little faith, why do you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So I want to look at this a little differently than maybe we have in the past. Look at how far Peter and the disciples have come. Right? We can see specifically in Peter right now, Peter's faith and peace have grown. Peter's faith had grown, and with it, he took a few peaceful steps onto the water. And I don't know about you, but I definitely know about myself. I have never walked on water. See, what happens with the little faith that Peter has is that even though he still doesn't fully understand who Jesus is, he's able to do something miraculous and take a step of faith out onto water. Peter's faith has grown. Look at this, Mark 4:40, when Jesus addresses the disciples, he says this. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Yet now, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" It reminds me of something Jesus will say later, "With the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains." See, what I see in this is that also the disciples have grown. They know him. They've went from saying, "Who is this that the winds and the seas obey him?" to, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, our faith and peace deepens as new storms challenge us to trust God more in every circumstance. And guys, our struggles and our challenges are real. They happen. And just because you have a faith and you figure it out and you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that a new storm won't challenge you to grow that peace and to grow that faith. See, it hit me as a parent. When I had kids, my faith and my peace had to grow because I had never done that before. It would have been completely outside of my realm of understanding as to how to raise a child. But as I did that with Jesus and the community around me, my faith and my peace grew. Sometimes your faith or your peace might be challenged because it's a new storm that you've never lived through. Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says this. A lot of our Blue Flame people did a fantastic job breaking this down. I'll try to do as well. But it says this, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content or at peace. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A phrase that stuck out to me this week is this isn't who Paul has always been. He learned to be content in any and every circumstance. The man who is writing this prison epistle to the Philippians is not the man who held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen, is not the man who was learning under Gamaliel to become a part of the Sanhedrin, is not the young boy who he was under his mother and father. He wasn't always this content, but he has learned it. At the feet of Jesus, when it's high or low, how to be content. I left out a part of the story earlier about Red Rocks. It was a beautiful day. But I didn't tell you why I was in Denver. I was in the middle of a personal storm. 2 years ago, I went to Denver because someone here who is a faithful Christian diagnosed me with PTSD. In my life, there have been some things of abuse in my past, and because of some things that were going on in that moment in my life, those came up. And I needed help. And so I went to a Christian counselor here in town, and she asked me, hey, could you go to Colorado? And I spent 4 hours of every day for 2 weeks in therapy with a wonderful Christian man who helped me walk through this storm. And guys, one of the things that I've learned in therapy is it's something that I'm continuing to walk. And here's how I began to do it. And in this journey, I found it. Is the first thing I began to do is look for Jesus. Part of the reason I picked these passages today are they were what I was reading on these steps. And I was praying to Jesus, peace, be still. God, make me still. God, give me peace. Right now, I'm going through something. I believe in you, but I'm going through something new and I don't know what to do. But the thing that I had never done before is a lot of times when I'm going through something hard, I try to hide. I don't talk to people about it because I don't want people to think I'm weak. I grew up in a house that says, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, which is something in some circumstances that's really great, but it's really hard when you're going through something like this. And I looked for someone who was peaceful that could help me find peace. And I want to introduce you to her today. I want to introduce you to my therapist. Her name is Miss Linda Holmberg. Some of you know her. She's a great Christian therapist here in this city. And I want to take a moment to talk to her. So everybody, will you welcome Miss Linda to the stage today? So we don't normally do this in front of so many people.
No, we don't.
But
Second
time is the charm. So one of the things that I really wanted to ask you today that I think is something that we'd be remiss not to ask is, what are some things that as a therapist you have seen help people find peace?
Well, you can't have peace without safety.
Yeah.
So in order to find peace, you have to feel safe. And in therapy, you can do that. It can take some time. Or you can find a good friend, but you need safety.
Yeah.
There's also education. I had a man that came in. This happens a lot with couples. They come in, they don't know what to do. And this one particular man, his wife had characteristics of having a personality disorder, so I was able to educate him about that, and then he knew what to do. He knew what path, and he said, oh, I'm not crazy. You know, a lot of people, when they come to therapy, they think they're crazy, and they're anything but. We live in a fallen world, and things are hard. So education is one of them. Same thing for addictions. You know, addictions have a certain pattern that just happens. And when you learn those patterns, then you can educate people about what that is. Yeah. And that helps them know, again, that they're not crazy, that they're living in crazy making, and there's a way out. So education is a big one.
I can remember when I first started coming to you, that was one of my questions. Hey, am I crazy?
Yeah.
And I remember it being so healing that the answer was no. And we're going to make it through this. And I think that's one of the biggest things and one of the biggest helps that I find in that is, like, I really wanted to hide it. I felt shame about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so healing to be in that room and to have someone walk that journey with me and not judge me or not yell at me, but actually lovingly help me through it. And so I really appreciate that. And so one of the other things I went, because I was in this boat too, I really was struggling. I didn't want to go to therapy. It was something that I really needed to do, but it was something I had been in the past because I had lost a student to suicide. And after I felt like I was done with that, I quit. Never really went back, but then this kind of creeped back up, and several people who love me asked me to do that. And so what would you say to someone like me in that moment? I know now, but that has never been to therapy before but might be interested in it. What does a therapy session look like?
Well, they come in and say, where do I start? You know, and I tell them just to start anywhere, we'll get where we're going. Yeah. And then we get to know each other. We start to have a conversation about their thoughts, their feelings, their situation. And it's a collaborative effort, and they'll receive support and guidance in a safe environment.
Yeah. And I think that word is the true thing, a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stigma that goes around mental health or just needing help to talk to someone about counseling.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that was really helpful is to know someone is in your corner.
Right.
The final thing, and I think this is something that we saw a lot of on those prayer cards that steal our peace, is depression and anxiety. So what might you say to someone who's dealing with a storm of life or is dealing with depression or anxiety right now?
There's an analogy that I think is a great illustration, and that is one of God's creations, which is the winter solstice, where that is the longest, darkest day of the year.
Yeah.
And after that day, then every day after that, if you add it up, it's about a minute more of light every day until you get to June 21st, and then you have a long, hot day.
Yeah.
So anxiety and depression is like that, because you feel like you feel hopeless, you feel like there's no way out. But if you just apply things that you know to do for a minute, several minutes a day throughout the day, it's going to add up, and you're going to find peace at the end of the journey.
It feels like sometimes like the storm's never going to end.
Oh, absolutely.
But one of the things that I think came up and is a point to this is, like, you're not going to be over this in a day, but it's not always going to be who you are and what your future is. There'll be a day where you feel peace about this. And I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. We're in that process. But what I love is that I have someone to help me with that. Thank you so much, Linda, for spending a couple minutes with us today.
Absolutely.
We love you and appreciate you. Can you help me thank Miss Linda? Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you. And so here comes this question: how do I find peace? Well, one, I think we can find Jesus and we can follow his lead, much like the disciples in that moment. What he is inviting them into is, hey, there's a big storm. You could be sleeping in the bow of this boat with me. You could find a trust and a faith in Jesus that when the storms and the winds and the waves come, can be a solid foundation for you and bring about peace. And you can follow his lead. Another thing you could do, not everybody needs a therapist, but everyone needs wise counseling. And so you can find a peacemaker. Jesus calls us to this. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God." And I see a lot of sons and daughters of God in this audience. And why they will be called sons and daughters of God is because they are bringing about peace in that. So it may be a wonderful Christian therapist. And I would say that when you are looking for a therapist, look for someone that upholds your faith and beliefs and that can say, "Hey, do this." But if it's not, maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it is just someone who will listen. Find someone who has been through the storm before you. One of the things that I see as a big problem is often people who are going through a storm begin to look for the people who are in the same storm. And here's the thing. I've been in drug awareness and counseling for a long time. I worked at a drug rehab for a while. Those who are on drugs that seek those who are on drugs to try and get out of it often don't make it. You must find someone who has been through the storm. Find someone who has been through your storm and can help bring about peace. And the last one, there are a lot of bright, beautiful days. Not every day is a storm. There are many in this audience who are probably like, "I'm not in a storm," and that's okay. That's great. But Jesus calls you to be a peacemaker. For you are a son and daughter of God. And so maybe you see some storms around you and you're out of the storm. Jesus has brought about a miracle in your life and you are healed. Be a peacemaker for those around you. Our faith and peace deepen as new storms challenge us to trust God more in every circumstance. Guys, we treat faith sometimes as if it's an on and off switch, as either it's something you have or you don't. But what I have come to learn is what faith is going on a journey with Jesus. And sometimes you're on a boat and it's being shaken and water is coming over and he's asleep and you're asking, "Do you care right now, Jesus? Where are you?" And sometimes it looks like getting to see him feed 5,000 people. But wherever you are today, one of the things I love about our church is that we offer and believe in the power of prayer. And so today, whether you need to find Jesus for the first time and become whole and put him on in baptism, or whether you have a storm going on and you need to find your wholeness again in him, whether you need to find a peacemaker, one of the things I love is that peacemakers surround those who need prayer. And they don't just end there praying for you one time. We pray for you continually. We walk with you. And the final thing is this. If you are walking someone through a storm and you just need prayers to continue to walk that with them, or whether you need someone right now and you're like, "I know someone who's in a storm that I need to help, but I need to be like Jesus. I need to reach out a hand to someone who is dying, who is falling down in the winds and the waves and pick them up." While we stand here a moment, won't you come and hear Jesus say to you, "Peace, be still." Because here I stand today and I'm telling you, I've heard him say it. And he's changed my life through a wonderful lady and a lot of people in this audience who loved me in a really hard time. And at one point in time, I wasn't able to hear him say it, but a lot of people walked with me. So I can fully say, "Peace, be still." So will you stand and sing? And if you need prayer, come forward today.